It's our Tuesdays with Mitch segment. And Mitch, of course, partner at the Brownstein Hyatt Law Firm. You can reach him on Twitter at Mitch Langberg or on our Facebook page. Now, disclaimer and a warning, Mitch does lean left, so this may hurt your ears. Mitch, how are you?
I'm doing great, Andy. How about you?
Good. Now, quickly to this Obamacare ruling last week. Were you surprised the way it went? I mean, you're a liberal. Are you happy now? What's going on?
I was shocked. I was surprised both in that it was upheld and the grounds on which it was upheld. I've said for a long time, my belief is that the government should just create a national health care system and then make it part, you know, pay for it through its taxing power. So what John Roberts made up as the justification for this program is exactly what I think the government should have done the first time around. So I was surprised like everybody else. I'm not sure I agree with the act as it's written. I don't think it's a great act. I don't think it's going to accomplish what should be done. In my mind, they should start from scratch and make something better.
Now, you're a constitutional expert, Mitch. The fact that John Roberts ruled against the Commerce Clause but for the taxation argument, which was something that Obama promised us, and then even in the oral arguments, they tried to downplay taxation as much as possible. You would agree that Justice Roberts engaged in judicial overreach and Obama misled us?
I think that John Roberts, what Justice Roberts did is he kept a narrowing view of the Commerce Clause, which is very important to the conservative side of the bench.
But Mitch, that what you just said to me is just not accurate at all. No, a lot of liberals have been saying this, even conservatives on TV and radio, and they're not getting it. They're saying, oh, well, John Roberts limited the Commerce Clause, but he said, oh, it's a tax. So, Mitch, what you just said to me before I rudely interrupted, and I need to because I know exactly what's coming out of your mouth next. I have a gift. Okay. Essentially, what you're saying is the government can't compel you to do anything. But what they do have the power to say is, yeah, we can't force you to do anything, but we're going to tax you if you don't do it. So we can't force you to eat broccoli, but if you don't eat it, we're going to tax you. To me, that's the same thing.
Well, here's the problem. Look, I think the taxation side of the ruling was as politically motivated as any Supreme Court opinion as I've seen. But the Commerce Clause ruling was very important because not every thing that comes up under the Commerce Clause deals with the government forcing somebody to buy something. And it's been a long history debate between Congress, between the sides of the Supreme Court about how broad Congress's power is under the Commerce Clause. And I'll tell you something, an interesting example that actually isn't boring is there was once a case about a farmer who grew wheat only for use of his own family. And the Supreme Court of the United States determined that a law that prevented him from doing that, or it might have actually penalized him for doing that, was constitutional under the Commerce Clause because by growing wheat for his own family, he was affecting interstate commerce because he wasn't buying wheat from somebody else. So that's how broad...
Mitch, that wasn't the Wicker case, was it?
You may be right. Yeah. I can't remember the name.
Yeah, I think it was Wicker. Okay, but by the way, that example was boring. You can admit that now, Mitch, correct?
Okay, well, you know.
Okay, we can't win them all. All right, now, Mitch, one last thing before we get to our stories of the day. In the opening monologue, I talked about why America is exceptional, and then I pointed out four groups of people who disagree with this, and I cited, you know, the liberal media, CNN articles, this new show on HBO with Aaron Sorkin where the lead guy's a hero for saying America, you know, is a wasteland. And then Barack Obama when he said, oh, I look at American exceptionalism just like, you know, a Greek person thinks that they're exceptional. What do you think about that argument? How do you fall under that?
Well, I think America is exceptional just in the mere fact that we are sitting here having a debate about decisions of the United States Supreme Court. There's been decisions that have decided presidential elections. There's controversial stuff that happens every day without an ounce of blood being dropped because our forefathers were smart enough to create an experiment that's turned into an amazing system that allows us to disagree and seem like you and I have grand differences when, in the grand scheme of things, when we compare ourselves to the rest of the world, you and I agree on way more than we differ on. And that is something that's exceptional.
Mitch,
about
I disagree with that, though, because I think the main difference between you and me is that you think that the government exists to provide for the people in the sense of a social welfare. And I think that the people exist to be the government, so to speak, and that, you know, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, and that the government isn't there to serve us. We're there to serve the